Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Fashtamai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Tuesday, 23rd of March, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news from the Isle of Man and background to the news. Sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person tonight. 13 new cases of COVID-19. That's 766 active cases. 17 people in Nobles, 3 in ICU. And in this update, police say they are dealing with lockdown breakers. Where's the money for the horse tram to the sea terminal? Class A drugs sent to a journalist, but why? And do joyriders put bus drivers at risk? All on Lockdown 3, Day 21.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
And first of all, 29 minutes before 6, these are the update news headlines. First to my Rhiann Evans.
First to my, 13 new cases of COVID-19 have been detected on the island in the past 24 hours. There are now 766 active cases here. 17 people are in hospital, 3 of which are in intensive care. 80 people have been officially warned for minor first-time breaches of COVID-19 regulations. New police figures also show 17 people have been arrested and 3 fixed penalty notices have been issued. A new petition is calling for government to install emergency phones on Marine Drive. It's after a woman involved in a dramatic cliff rescue had to drive away from the scene of the incident to get signal to call emergency services. Further afield, and Scotland's First Minister has survived a vote of no confidence. Yesterday, a report by a top lawyer found Nicola Sturgeon didn't break the ministerial code when it comes to issues surrounding her government's handling of harassment claims against her predecessor. People in the UK have marked a year since the country's first lockdown began. A minute's silence has been held to remember the tens of thousands of lives lost to coronavirus. And police in the US are still trying to work out a motive for the shooting of 10 people in a supermarket in Colorado. They've identified a 21-year-old man as the suspect. Those are your headlines. News in full at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Gurumaya, thank you, Rhiann. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, some strong winds out in the North Irish Sea shortly on the Isle of Man this evening. Rain on the way on a fresh south-southwesterly. Later on, after midnight, should be dry with a light westerly wind. Overnight down to 6 degrees. There's some patchy drifting fog on the mountain road this evening. So do take it easy. For Wednesday, tomorrow, Ukraine dry and bright with sunny intervals. Patchy spells of rain into the evening on a fresh to strong southwesterly. Top temperature 10 degrees. The low through the night into Thursday is 6. Jordan dry with variable cloud. Sunny spells of brisk southwesterly and 11 degrees. Sunset 23 minutes before 7 tonight. Remember, the clocks go forward this Sunday morning. High water 24 minutes to 8. Low tide overnight is a quarter to 2 a.m. Sunrise 12 minutes past 6 and high water at quarter to 8.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. manxglass.com.
So, 13 new cases of COVID-19 detected on the Isle of Man in the last 24 hours. Rhiann's back with the breakdown.
It's a drop of 4 from the previous day. 10 of the new cases are linked to existing sources, whilst 3 have unknown transmission chains. The island now has 766 active cases, down from 859 on Monday, so it's presumed that 93 people have now recovered. 17 people who have the virus are in hospital. 3 of those are in intensive care. Since the 15th of February, 13,035 COVID-19 tests have been undertaken, with a positive result rate of 6.88.
Police say they're investigating all reports of potential breaches of COVID-19 rules. Today, the Isle of Man Constabulary has published new data in a bid to counteract perception officers aren't dealing with rule breakers. Tessa Hawley.
222 calls relating to coronavirus were made to the Emergency Services Joint Control Room between the 3rd of March and the 21st. In that same time period, 17 people were arrested, 3 were given a fixed penalty notice, and 80 have been officially warned for a minor first-time breach. At the start of the current lockdown, officers also wrote to 40 people who were warned during the previous January lockdown to remind them of their need to follow the regulations. Superintendent Stephen Maddox explains why it's important to publish the data.
I think one of the main reasons is, one, to update the public as to what we're doing. I think I've seen some comments and maybe a feeling that perhaps the police aren't doing what they maybe should be doing or enough. And I don't think some of the things have been reported on, so I just wanted to make sure that people were aware of what we were doing. Just to reassure people, we are trying to do our part in relation to stopping the spread of the virus. The large majority of the Manx public are really good, public-spirited, and they'll do what they need to do to play their part. However, as always, there is a small minority who think the rules don't apply to them and will look to break the rules. The regulations have been brought in during a crisis and a pandemic. They are really difficult regulations at times to police because you're stopping people's freedoms of going to see loved ones in the house. However, they haven't been brought in lightly. The government have brought them in for a reason, and the police are here to enforce them. And it can be difficult at times, but we just want people to adhere to the rules. And like I said, the large majority of people are. So somebody making a minor breach of the regulations, the last thing we want to do is criminalise someone.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Good evening. 23 minutes before six, a Ramsey MHK says he's concerned the Isle of Man's COVID vaccine rollout is off pace. 4,500 people are booked in for a jab over the next week. That falls below the 1,000 per day target. With 15,000 doses in hand, Laurie Hooper MHK asked the Chief Minister why.
We clearly haven't run out of vaccines and we haven't run out of people needing a vaccine. So can I ask the Chief Minister why the vaccine rollout isn't proceeding at pace? And the second question I have in connection with the vaccination programme is, in terms of the vaccinations held in stock, is he able to give us an indication of how many of those are being allocated for a first dose and how many people, if any, are still left on the old 21, 28 day second dose interval, or is it the 12 week schedule?
I think the Honourable Member needs to compare all around us how the vaccination process is going, Mr President. We are ahead in overall number of doses delivered in the United Kingdom, Guernsey and Jersey. We are also rapidly closing the gap, as we said we would, on first doses delivered compared to all three jurisdictions. So we now have 15.7% of our population fully vaccinated with both doses. That's not something to be criticised. It is something to celebrate due to the fact that these 15.7% form those who are the most vulnerable to illness and death, and they have completed their vaccination schedule. We obviously have to ensure that we have enough of the vaccine to provide the second doses, because we need to ensure also that we can't mix. So if you know that you've got a number of second doses coming up and they are the Pfizer vaccine and you know you've got a tray, and then you've got to ensure that you keep that for the second dose if those people are coming forward. Now, the second dose book section on the online dashboard is all second doses that are booked, including those at 10 to 12 weeks. The dates of second doses are not wherever possibly booked at the time of the first dose being booked, and we are not holding back stock to administer those second doses.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Ben McCree left Heysham at a minute past two this afternoon. She'll be into Douglas in the next 10 minutes or so. In fact, if I look out of my window to my left, I can see the Ben McCree heading into the outer parts of the bay. So she'll be in dock in about the next 15 minutes or so. Due to the closure of the border, the steam packets fast craft season was due to start on this Thursday, but it's been delayed, so the high-speed craft Manana won't be recommencing services, but she will be providing cover for the Ben McCree's period of overhaul from mid-April, with the Arrow providing the freight service.
Follow the steam packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Is there money in the kitty for the single track horse tramway from Broadway, from the War Memorial to the Sea Terminal, when, let's be optimistic, when it gets built. There's a question tabled in the House of Keys question time today. Where will the tram development have reached when the work stops for the summer? Douglas East MHK Chris Robertshaw probed the Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker on whether the extra track is still funded.
The Minister says that the final section of the horse tram from the Broadway to through to the sea terminal was taken out of scope. If we're being rational about this, then the budget that Tim Wald had already voted for should have also been taken out of scope. As it wasn't, it must have been spent elsewhere. So effectively, asking Tim Wald to vote the money again for that work means that it's not voting for where the money was actually spent. As I clearly recall at the time, the work was delayed originally because the idea and the intention was to diminish the amount of work going on the promenade for the, what at that time was the hopefully going to be the current summer season. So this is a very confusing and most unsatisfactory position that Tim Wald finds itself in having to vote for one item twice unnecessarily, and not really getting a full analysis of the overspends in other areas.
Mr. Robertshaw's assertion is that the single tram extension was built into the budget in the first place. It was approved by Tim Wald. I'm not sure that that was actually the case. I would need to go back in history and look at what the information was that was in circulation in the public domain at that point in time. But I do recall, and we're going back a number of years now, the extension of the horse tram track was a discreet addition to the scheme, and to what extent that was reflected in the financial budget or whether it was effectively laid on top of the sums that were already pledged, I cannot confirm.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
It's 18 minutes before six. Tech has overtaken oil. Aramco, formerly the world's most profitable company, has lost its crown to Apple. The Saudi oil giant recorded a $49 billion profit for its 2020 fiscal year, but the tech giant reported $57.4 billion profit. And although oil prices may be rebounding after a year marked by lockdowns and stay-at-homes, Apple hardly registered a blip in its steady high margins, with housebound customers snapping up iPhones, iPads and Macs. And Cineworld has announced it's reopening cinemas in America next month, followed by the UK in May, after signing a deal with Warner Brothers to show films in theatres before they're streamed. Cineworld will open a handful of Regal cinemas in America in early April, with Godzilla vs. Kong the first film to make its debut in the theatres. Cineworld said the deal with Warners means films will have a period of exclusivity in cinemas before being made more widely available. Follows a row last year when Cineworld and rival AMC, which owns Odeon Cinemas, criticised Universal for releasing Trolls World Tour online while theatres were forced to close because of the pandemic.
The Stock Market Report. Brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed mixed as concerns over a third wave of COVID infections in the region rattle investor sentiment. The dollar rose, oil fell and gold edged higher. In corporate news, Barratt Developments rose after the FTSE 250 peer Crest Nicholson lifted its full-year profit expectations and pointed to a resilient UK market. At the close in London, the FTSE 100 finished 0.4% down at 6,699. The DAX in Frankfurt was flat at 14,662. Currently in New York City, just after 5 o'clock, the Ramsey Crookall report, the Dow Jones Industrial down 0.1% at 32,682. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index down 0.25% at 13,346. In Chicago, the S&P 500 is flat at the moment, 3,940. And in the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1, $37.7 cents, €1, $0.16 cents, and 20 South African rand, 33 cents. Finally, in commodities, gold down 0.7% at $1,727 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil down 3.33% at $62.12.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal,
you'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Crickle, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrickle.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Good evening. It's 14 minutes before 6. Isle of Man police have been called to see why Class A drugs were sent to a freelance court reporter. Jason Roberts is also the designated official at the Miller's Tail micropub in Peel, and he spoke to Manx Radio's Alex Watton.
Nobody's happy about being physically threatened. I'm a fairly defiant person. But to involve a different employer and to have what we suspect are Class A drugs sent to me at that address is an entirely different matter.
And there's an investigation ongoing then with police at the moment.
Yeah, the police have been absolutely great about it. I've approached them before about different threats that have been made against me. They've turned up. They've obviously taken the envelope away to have a look at what the actual contents are. They're still being tested at the moment. I've given them as much information as I can about the people that I suspect may be involved in this. But they've been absolutely great. I can't praise them enough. They've been absolutely superb.
As a court reporter, you are able to report what is said in court and make it public. That's your job. But do you think there's still a misunderstanding, sort of widely speaking, especially from those at the subject of the case at hand, that actually that information is legally allowed to be made public? Because you seem, we do too, as Manx Radio, get a lot of complaints about the kind of information that's shared.
I think people assume that because I'm publicising the case, somehow I'm either part of the police or I'm part of the prosecution or I'm part of the legal process. All I actually do is sit in court, listen to what's said in court. All I'm allowed to report is what's said in the courtroom during the case. I can't go outside and say, well, you know, that's not quite what happened in reality. That's not the entire story. Here's what people want me to say. All I can report is what's said inside that courtroom during that hearing. And I think sometimes that is difficult for people to understand.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Fastamai. Well, FC Isle of Man is boosting its online offering during the pandemic by uniting with the International Soccer Science and Performance Federation. The official partnership will provide online football coaching resources for players, coaches, medical staff and performance analysts. The sessions are developed and delivered by professionals in the sport from clubs including Manchester United, England Football Association and Major League Soccer Club staff. Courses will cover everything from nutrition to psychology and mental skills training. Other key classes include youth soccer player and athletic development, soccer and team sport training methodology, fitness and conditioning training, tactical analysis, talent identification, goalkeeper coaching science, and injury reduction and return to play. Anyone who would like to find out more regarding the professional development and course options can do so via the link on the story, and you can find it at manxradio.com on our sports page. Competition may be sparse in the world of sport, but 51 local athletes have won themselves scholarships from Isle of Man Sport. Those chosen will benefit from a one-year programme that will see them acting as sporting ambassadors for the island. They'll also get financial support to help with travel, equipment and access to facilities at the Isle of Man Sport Institute, all of which will be available from the start of next month. Among the athletes selected are enduro star Danny McKerney and race walker Erica Kelly. They, along with the other 49, will formally receive their certificates at this year's Isle of Man Sports Awards, which are due to be held on the 2nd of June. Further afield, and former England striker Frank Worthington has died at the age of 72 following a long illness. He played for 20 clubs during his career, including Huddersfield. Town Club ambassador Andy Booth told Sky Sports News Worthington was much loved on and off the pitch. And in netball, Strathclyde Sirens continued their best start to a Super League season with a hard-fought 32-all draw against two-time champions Wasps. Having held Saracens Mavericks last weekend, the Glasgow-based outfit have now drawn twice against top-four teams.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Open as normal during this circuit break.
10 to 6 live from the Isle of Man. This is Manx Radio. The patient transfer plane, the 5 o'clock to Liverpool, left 11 minutes late. But back this evening at 10 to 7. On the roads, there's a drifting fog on the mountain road, so do take it easy. Wrapping up next week, by the way, Quarterbridge Road, the nighttime closure is supposed to finish 31st of March. That's a week tomorrow from Peel Road to Tramode Road. It should all be finished in a week's time, the resurfacing and the footpath reconstruction. And also finishing next week, the closure to vehicles, Ellerslie Gardens and Maloo Street in Castletown, the junctions with School Hill Avenue and the cross for that drainage work. Ongoing in Peel, East Quay, the junction with St Peter's Lane and the entrance to the House of Manana and the whole of Station Place. MEOA is replacing water mains and sewers. Motor Drive in Doug, they're still closed to vehicles around Central Promenade. And also Switzerland Road in Douglas. The closure there has been extended to the 30th of April. Glen Elphin Road in Ramsey, parking suspension for nearby construction. And South Prom in Ramsey, still those footways on the east and west sides closed and a parking suspension for the refurb of the RNLI lifeboat station.
Book your service or repair at tyres.im and we'll collect and return your car sanitised with X-Mist, which eliminates all viruses and can remain active for 7 days.
Douglas Borough Council has been ordered to pay a worker of 36 years more than £5,000 after losing an employment tribunal. The details from our local Democracy reporter, Chris Cave.
The tribunal ruled William Pye, who's worked as a gully operative at the council for more than 3 decades, had suffered unlawful deductions from his salary. He'd been receiving sick pay after a holiday to Cyprus saw him stranded in the country for 3 months due to coronavirus restrictions. Despite obtaining sick notes from his doctor, the council stopped paying him as it attempted to claw back what it alleged was overpayment of wages. A 3-day hearing was told Mr. Pye's trip to Cyprus in March 2020 was not unusual, as he visited the country on holiday each year. The council had argued the decision to go on holiday was reckless, but a report concluded there was no official warning from the Isle of Man government or from the council that travelling at that time could have an adverse impact on pay. Borders in Cyprus were shut shortly after he arrived, and Mr. Pye was unable to return to the Isle of Man until the 2nd of July, where he was instructed to self-isolate for a further 2-week period. Notes from his doctor entitled Mr. Pye to sick pay equal to his normal pay during his time off work. However, the council stopped these payments on the 5th of July. This was ruled to be an unlawful decision under current employment legislation, however, with Mr. Pye suffering deductions of more than £3,500. 4 weeks' salary was also awarded to the complainant as part of the compensation package, meaning a final sum of more than £5,200 is to be paid out.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Are people putting bus drivers at risk by joyriding on the island's buses during the lockdown? Well, according to the Chief Minister, yes. Unite the Union claims half the workforce is self-isolating after a number of drivers tested positive. Sam Turton from Jeff put it to Howard Quayle. It was the government that could be doing more to protect drivers.
Well, I was sorry to hear about the high number of our bus drivers that have contacted COVID-19. They do an incredibly important job, along with a lot of other groups of people, keeping the island going, and I was disappointed to hear that so many of them have caught it. I wish them all a very speedy recovery. Now, I've asked to ensure that they are receiving PPE equipment, and I'm told the shields are up on the buses. They're provided with hand washing gel, gloves, masks, and that the bus they drive is the one they have all day, so they don't chop and change. But really, it's also asking people not to go on the buses
unless you really need to go on. I'm getting complaints about people going joyriding on the buses like you would in a normal time. Now, that's fine in a normal time when we haven't got COVID, but going on the buses for out sightseeing in the day, that's putting our bus drivers at risk and putting the island at risk. So I would ask people to respect our bus drivers by A, making sure they wear a face mask when they go on board, pay with contactless cards, so it's reducing the risk to our bus drivers. But anything that we can do from a safety procedure to ensure our bus drivers are protected, then I do expect our Department of Infrastructure to provide that support.
But that's just in terms of actual the public, in terms of what is management actually doing, because we've heard from Unite saying that they've had a lot of concerns which they've consistently raised with bus line management, and they seem to have gone unheeded until very recently.
Right, well, I have received the letters too, and you know, I will be taking this offline with the Minister of Infrastructure, but I have been ensured that the full PPE has been given to the drivers since the start of this outbreak. So if that's not the case, then obviously I will be having words, but I've been reassured that that is the case, that they have had full PPE. But of course, it's really important that we do look after all of our front-serving staff, and our bus drivers are very important.
That's it for Update Tonight. By the way, if you use Manx.net mail, it's not your device, it's Manx.net. Manx.net mail's experienced service disruption. That's it for Update. Produced by Tessa Hawley, newsreader Rhiann Evans. I'm Andy Wint. Back tomorrow night, 5:30.